It's time right now on UK Talk Radio to find out about a fantastic book and the super awesome event that goes on around it. I'm talking to John Goodwin, who is president of Galaxy Press. And we are going to find out more about L. Ron Hubbard Presents Writers of the Future, Volume 39. Let's catch up with John right now.
By far my favorite station.
You're the best.
Oh, yeah. I love you guys.
This is UK Talk Radio with the music you love and the chat you enjoy. Enjoy.
By far my favorite station.
You're the best.
Oh, yeah. I love you guys.
So, John, it's that fantastic time of the year when we're talking about writers of the future. We now have volume 39. So tell me a little bit about this volume.
Well, volume 39 is, each year I have to say that, actually, I can't say they get better and better, but they seem to be able to. Because each year it sets a new level, it raises the bar for aspiring writers and artists. So volume 39 has done that yet again. And the cover is, and it's one of the most striking covers we've had, with a fire dragon. It really catches a lot of attention. And the winners we've got, I guess that's probably the thing that's most unique about this. We got winners from 9 different countries. And that shows what we've been saying all along about this contest. It's really there for everybody. We have entries from over 175 countries. We get thousands of entries every quarter, and we don't get into the actual numbers, but it's interesting how it really filters the best of the best in writers and artists. And so you've got such a cross section of speculative fiction. So you got science fiction, fantasy, alternate history, dark fantasy. The main thing is it's appropriate for middle school. So you're not going to find horror. You're not going to find heavy sex. You're not going to find foul, profanity in it. You don't need it to have this, but that's not this market. If someone, that's what they write, great. But that's not writers of the future market. That's not what we're set up for. So I think the thing we're most proud about is that we've got the diversity of this volume that we have. We have winners from, Costa Rica for the first time. We had winners. And we've got winners from China, from Korea, from Vietnam. There's another European country. We had a winner there and from Europe, Canada, United States. So, and there's a few other countries too that I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's 9 different countries. We never had that before. And for the art, it's not like, okay, it's got to be Disney art or it's got to be, what people see in anime. It's across the board. So if you see someone from China, it's a very different look than from Korea or from Vietnam or from Europe. It's just the different arts will show out. We've had people before from the Middle East, and it's way different looking, but it's because what the contest is looking for is originality. Then it's kind of like the field's open to whoever can show originality in speculative fiction. So whether it's illustration, it's got to tell a story, but it's got to be speculative in nature, and the story itself that they're submitting has to be speculative in nature. And it's got to show that speculative nature within the first page or so. Otherwise, it's not clear. And since we're short stories and the judges go through so many stories, it won't make the cut if you can't tell earlier on that this is speculative. It's not just an adventure story or romance or history. Alternate history finds itself in these stories as well.
That's great, isn't it, having all these different countries and different people involved? Because as you say, they all bring something different. And then, so if you're in one country, you may look at something and say, wow, I wouldn't have thought of it in that way. That illustration really grabs me. That story really grabs me. So, and as you said, how wonderful now to be reaching even more people. I mean, this is fantastic.
It is. And what's really amazing about this too, we've mentioned before, and maybe it was covered with the other interviews, but this contest was originally begun in 1983 by Owen Hubbard to provide a launching pad for aspiring writers. And because of the success of the writing contest, a sister illustrator contest started a few years later. The fact that he continues to fund it, he passed away in 1986, and he put it in his will to continue funding this competition into perpetuity. And now, we're almost done with year 40. You've got winners. They're flown out by Mr. Hubbard. His estate flies them out. We put them up in a hotel here in Hollywood for a week. There's an amazing award ceremony that they got. We usually have 20, 30 media there in attendance to interview. And we have all these different countries. We get the nationality media to come there as well and cover. So it's been a true meritocracy, you know, for anybody and around the world that wants to be able to write. And some of these people that win, they're like, they don't have the money. And since we started making it several years ago, we made it so you can then upload your art. It saw a big increase because poor and starving artists is a truism. You know, you have that. And so that they're able to submit their stories or their art onto a portal, then it made a big difference. And just when I talk about being a meritocracy, you've got the stories uploaded or the three pieces of illustration uploaded. And you can find all this information at writersofthefuture.com. You can go in there. It tells you all this, what I'm saying. But then it goes to the contest administrator. She takes and assigns a number to each piece of work. And then what goes to the judges is the story or the art assigned with a number. There's, if you put your name on any of the art pieces or the story, you're automatically disqualified. So all the judges will see is the story and a number. So it totally levels the playing field. So this last year we had in volume 39, we had a 69-year-old and a 16-year-old. So it's just, it's open to anybody. There's no preconceived idea of who qualifies, who doesn't qualify. I think the oldest entrant was just over 100 years old. She didn't win, but people can, you know, enter. And we have kids in elementary school will submit to the contest just to get them, to validate them. Because everybody who enters minimally will get an email saying, thank you very much for entering. Please resubmit. That's the worst that you're going to get.
I mean, that's fantastic. That's a comprehensive age group. And I've spoken to some of the winners already for this particular volume. And they were just so excited because there are so many different levels. They obviously win prize money. They come along to the event itself. And they also get help from people who are already very good in their field. So it's three boxes being ticked there. Really powerful. I mean, it's very powerful. And they've really been so appreciative.
It is. And what I really appreciate is yourself, because by talking about it, other aspiring writers or artists will hear, or someone who knows an aspiring writer and artist will hear and say, hey, I just heard about the Elwyn and Hubbard Writers of the Future and the Illustrators of the Future contest. It's free to enter, and you maintain all the rights to your stories, to your art. Even when you win, you still maintain the rights. We publish it first, but then you maintain all the rights to be able to resell. So it's something I really look forward to because we've been getting more and more winners from the UK. And I personally attribute that considerably to opportunities like this with yourself to get the word out there so that people know about it. And obviously our winners are very excited. They'll go do bookstore events. We do other, you know, interviews with them, and it just, success breeds success. So UK is definitely opening up to the competition, although we've had winners going, you know, all the way back earlier on. But it's a thing that right now we're seeing more and more winners from the UK that we're flying out every year, which is just awesome.
And it's been great to talk to the two of the winners from volume 39, and they've really been excited about it. Also, which is quite interesting, and this is quite unique, you've actually got two sisters of part of the competition, and they've written together. I mean, that must be the easiest thing on planet Earth to do, but that's fantastic.
It is. Rose and Alice Robillard. I'm not sure if that's, I pronounced the name correctly, but it's R-O-B-I-L-L-I-A-R-D. But you can write as a writing team and submit. And so this is the first time we've had their first place. So they have an opportunity to win the grand prize as well, which is another $5,000 on top of the $1,000 they've already gotten as first place winners. So, we're very excited about this because it's another first, and it's great that it's a first for UK. And I can sit down and listen to British accents all day long. So I'm willing to talk to you for the next couple of hours. And, So I'm really determined to come out and hear them talk.
it's the same for us. It's always nice to hear a different accent, and it's nice to, for us to hear the American accent as well.
Yeah, so
it's
I'm a speaking kind American of here.
And so this is fantastic. And as I say, the winners of we've spoken to a couple of the UK winners. They've really been thrilled with everything, the fact of going over there. And as you say, success breeds success. Mm-hmm. You know, when you win something, then you're encouraged to do even better, aren't you, really? I mean, that's how it works.
It's exactly how it works. Like this past weekend, when we were in Tampa at Comic-Con there, and then in 2 or 3 weeks we'll be in Atlanta for Dragon Con, and then a few weeks after that we'll be in Salt Lake City for FanX, and we invite past winners, you know, so you know, until they build up a name for themselves and enough income from it, they can't afford to buy a booth. So we're good friends with the convention owners, and so they provide additional space for us. We invite past winners to come in, and we set up a space for them to do autographings. If they got books, they bring their own books, they sell them, they keep 100% of what they sold. And they're just, it gives them a space for them to operate. And we just brought on a new judge this week. His name is Hugh Howie. He's very famous. He's got a book that just was made into a TV series starring Rebecca Ferguson. And that's doing really well. It's, he's got another TV series in the works right now, but he's got one book called Sand and Across the Sand, and then Silo, which is what this TV series is very, very popular. But it's just with that stuff happening, and Brandon Sanderson is a judge. He was there with us. We have some of the biggest names in science fiction and fantasy as judges, and this helps to, for them, they like it because they're able to like pay forward. But Hugh High was there, and he was just totally amazed at what happens with the winners after having won. It's not just that here's your check and a pat on the back. Mm. You know, I've got a personal target of at least 3 pieces of media for every winner. And some really glom onto it and go like, wow, I want, you know, keep on doing it. And they'll, they can do 15, 20 pieces of media they get. But it's just something we really do to encourage careers to start. And so we've got probably a 60%, would be my guess, success rate of people have gone on. But it's just, you know, the people you've interviewed, they're just such great people. They're fun, you know. It's just rarely, you know, personality has nothing to do with the contest, because it's only did they write a good story or not. And we're running really high percentage of people just being super nice people, as well as being great writers and artists.
And that's a really good thing. And the authors that we've spoken to this year and last year, really enthusiastic and great people. And what's nice is the listeners then get to find out more about the writer. So what we've done is we've set the tone here. We've explained what the prize is, and it is a great prize. So let's round off with the most important thing. So
exactly.
For our listeners, how do they get it? Where's their writing or illustrating chance? That's what they want. So what do they do? What's the next stage?
Well, for pretty much the judges will agree that to know what you're up against or what you need to do, you need to actually read a book, a writer's future book, to see what's the level of professionalism you need to be in order to win. Now, that said, that gives you a benchmark to aspire to. You still keep on writing and submitting stories. You know, you don't wait until you're, you know, some A-list author now finally submit to the contest. The way a writer becomes better is by writing and submitting. So, you know, you have to build your own voice. You have to, you know, you work the craft. So you submit, and what way it normally goes, a person will submit and they'll get a thank you saying, please resubmit. And then at some point they become an honorable mention. It might take a while, might not. And they move up the ranks as an honorable mention. Then it goes silver honorable mention, then a finalist, then winners. We've had one person that has submitted 47 times before winning. There are those that submit one time and they win. But a good average is maybe, you know, 10 to 15 or so, something like that, to actually move up the ranks on this. But the main thing is you submit. And also, we've pretty much found anybody that submits an honorable mention or above, can often sell their story to other markets. So what Orson Scott Card said in a recent interview with him is like, so basically what you're saying, because he had his own magazine, said, basically what I'm saying is that you get the best and we get what Writers of the Future doesn't accept. So it really is the best of the best. And if you like anything science fiction or fantasy, I can promise you, you'll find something you'll like here. Yes. But it also lets you, the writer, or you, the illustrator, know what has to, you know, what you need to build up to be able to do this. So absolutely read the book, look at the pictures, read the stories, and that gives you that benchmark. But then you submit. It's short stories, so it goes up to 17,000 words, which is maybe a novelette, but 17,000 words is the limit. And we have a free online writing workshop that you can take, and that made a big difference. That was taught by Orson Scott Card, Tim Powers, and Dave Wolverton, who passed away last year. But we have about a dozen videos and about 10 essays from L. Ron Hubbard, which are taught in the writing workshop for the winners. So that's been a really good tool. And we're about ready to put on other videos. Nnedi Okorafor, who's the queen of African science fiction. She's just our African fantasy. She's amazing. We've got Robert J. Sawyer from Canada. And we have Jody Lynn Nye and Kevin Anderson, who's writing now on all the different Dune. He's helping to craft all the Dune movies, and he's writing all the Dune series along with Frank Herbert's son, Brian Herbert. So hopefully that gave a good roundabout answer to your question there.
Absolutely. And so we've been talking about Writers of the Future, Volume 39. And remind us again the website to go to find out all these details, to get all this fantastic information that we can learn from. Where do we need to go to?
So you go to writersofthefuture.com. And it's a one-stop shop for all things Writers of the Future. It has it enter the writer contest, the illustrator contest. It has a free online workshop. I have a podcast that's on there as well that does very well. There's a forum that you can join. It wins an award for the last 3 years on Best Science Fiction Forum. Mm-hmm. So you're welcome to join there. And just the only rule is there's no shaming, no dissing anybody else. And if you do, you get one warning. Second time you're out of there and you're not part of the forum. Mm-hmm. And we've also got photos of all the history of the judges, going all the way back to the original judges, going back to like Frank Herbert and Anne McCaffrey and Jack Williamson. We got some of the greats of the Golden Age moving forward, because they were the contemporaries of L. Ron Hubbard when the contest was started there in the early 80s. And then as far as the book goes, I believe now it should be pretty much in all the bookstores in the UK, Waterstones and Independence. We've been working to get in all the Independents. Our sales team comes in really early in the morning and they make their calls out there to UK to make sure it's all stocked up there. But it's definitely, I can promise you that if you like science fiction or fantasy, you will find something in every book that you're going to enjoy.
Brilliant. Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure as always, and all the best with Writers of the Future, Volume 39. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you, John. We've been talking about L. Ron Hubbard Presents Writers of the Future, Volume 39, which is available, as John mentioned, right now.